Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today, a conversation with Frank Mate about Hills of Tuscany. We turn our attention to the idea of a simpler life. Now, I have to confess, I'm one of those people who has always found great appeal, albeit probably over-romanticized, great appeal in the idea of living a simpler life. Peter Mayle, who wrote the book A Year in Provence, tells the story, which was in fact his story, of a busy New York advertising executive who gets overloaded and decides to sell his share in his partnership in a successful advertising agency and live in the south of France, in Provence, where Peter Mayle went and spent some years, eventually got tired of being unproductive and decided to do some writing and eventually wrote the book A Year in Provence, which sold a few million copies. What was it that book tapped into? It tapped into the feeling that many of us have, that our lives are somehow losing what is essentially human and are becoming dominated by things that aren't important, the tyranny of the urgent instead of the priority of what's truly important, relationships, friendships. Peter Mayle went off and lived in the south of France, and after I'd visit with Peter in the studio, I'd always have these romantic notions of taking my show to Lopez Island and here in the San Juans and doing the show from there and living this very simple life, which my wife regularly tells me would not work in my case. She said, you'd want to know where are the good restaurants, where's the live theater, where am I going to go see the latest releases of the films, how can I stay connected, where's the best bookstore on the island, and so forth. Nevertheless, it's been a kind of an appealing idea to me for a number of years. You're going to hear now an interview that I conducted with Frank Mate a few years ago. He wrote a book called The Reasonable Life, in which we interact with the ideas of a simpler life. He made the decision to leave his busy life and move to Italy. I want you to stay tuned now because we're going to join in progress an interview I conducted when I was living in Chicago and thinking about my life being too busy. And due to the prompting, as you'll hear from a listener, we arranged for an interview with Frank Mate. And what you're about to hear is that interview. About a month and a half ago, I was having lunch with a listener to this show who told me he was detecting in the show a gravitation on the part of the beloved host towards a yearning for a simpler life, for a quality of life. And a lot of this rooted in the fact that my family and I vacation in the San Juan Islands every summer on Lopez Island, which is a quiet pastoral island, where we have always found ourselves restored and have always asked ourselves, while sitting in a boat amidst a pod of orca whales, we have been asking ourselves why in the world we live in a suburban area adjacent to an urban area. Well, the friend who is the listener at lunch suggested a book that he said he had been reading that he thought I should read. It was titled A Reasonable Life, and it is by our next guest, Frank Mate, and he has, in addition to writing A Reasonable Life, written another book, Autumn, and his most recent, The Hills of Tuscany, A New Life in an Old Land, published by Norton. Mr. Mate, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for calling me, Dick.
I would like to start with the whole title, A Reasonable Life, and what it was that got you headed down this path of reasonability in our lifestyles in the first place.
Well, you know, something very fundamental. I've always had this sort of gut feeling about places, and I think everybody does that, and I think it's intrinsic to all of us, that some places you feel home and some places you just make the hair on the back of your neck just stand up on end. And we were living in New York at a certain period for a couple of years, and the place didn't feel right. We were from the West Coast, actually, where you had been.
Yes.
And I failed a lot up in the wilds of British Columbia, where there's nothing, just huge mountains and no roads penetrating toward the sea, just glaciers and wonderful bays and thousands of islands and little Indian villages. And sailing there felt right, you know, that sort of being surrounded by nature and a few other sailors that occasionally you bump into. And that seemed that very little is needed for the average human being to be happy. And I don't think we need this great complex thing that we call civilization. I don't think we've changed very much in 10,000 years or 5,000 years. I think we need emotionally and psychologically a base. We don't need careers or steady jobs. We need security. We need security of a home and a place to rest ourselves and feel safe. And we need food and some sort of a continuity from day to day. We don't need MTV and HBO. We need human contact. We replace it with this desperate need for human contact with the millions of electronic things that we have. I don't think we need Jay Leno. We need friends. We don't need fame and fortune. We need being accepted in a small community of neighbors and friends. And I don't think we need country clubs and fan clubs and clubs. But I think we just need to feel a sense that we belong in a very small community where we are known and accepted and can contribute something. And I think all of that has been lost somewhere, this very basic, fundamental human need or human needs that we have had have been lost. And in this giant complex of substitutes, and they're very poor substitutes, as you can ask most of your friends, they will tell you. Going through Tuscany one day, we were doing a research on a book through Europe and ended up in the middle of Italy. And somehow the place felt right. We were, after lunch, sitting on a little stone wall of a church overlooking the sea of hills with medieval hill towns and tiny vineyards and tiny olive groves and old ruins or old farmhouses that were restored in the valleys. And everything to a very human scale. There are no fences, no big squares and rectangles, just things that developed over thousands of years that seemed to work for the people who lived there, who worked the land by hand, and they had since the time of the Etruscans. But beyond that, beyond this physical beauty that was there, the light, the enormous Tuscan light that is so obvious in the paintings of Michelangelo and others, beyond this physicality, there was such a sense of calm about the people who lived there, such a sense of community of the people who lived there, that you saw people standing on corners talking to each other, chatting, or sitting on walls and chatting, or people seem to have time and a great joy of life in their face. I think if you were to compare the average urban person who seems to have this undercurrent or this foundation of anxiety practically, I think you could safely say that the Tuscans, at least in the countryside, have this undercurrent of calm and security. And you know, you should have. I mean, our neighbor in Tuscany now, our next door neighbor, his family's been there in the same house, in the same group of houses for 400 years, you know, almost since Columbus left.
Join us next time for more conversation with Frank Mattei about Hills of Tuscany. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse. Thank you for listening to the Kindling's Muse. If this program sparks something in you, I invite you to participate at www.thekindlings.com. That's KINDLINGS. Share this program, tell a friend, or just leave a comment at www.thekindlings.com.